Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who considered pulling a Ryan Ulrich when he had to wash the Thanksgiving dishes and debated throwing them out. I am Rob Cisternino. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast here after episode number 9 of Survivor Season 35, a post-Thanksgiving edition, recording this here on a Black Friday. And this is going to be the fourth time in my life that on the Friday after Thanksgiving, I am talking to the great Tyson Apostle. Very excited to have Tyson on the show for you guys to talk about everything, because I talk to Tyson all the time, but really, not very often that we get to talk about Survivor. So excited to do a deep dive into this season coming up here with Tyson. Over the weekend, I'm also going to catch up with Sophie Clark. So be on the lookout for that podcast as well. We had the Survivor Know-It-Alls with Steven on Wednesday night. I thought that was a very fun, if somewhat abbreviated. Steven had another engagement to get to on Wednesday night, but I thought it was dense. I felt like that we got into some really good stuff in terms of Steven's takeaways on Devin. If you haven't checked that out, be sure to. And if you are going to be in the Austin, Texas area on December 6th, come out and see Steven and I in person. And we just recently announced a bunch of other people that are going to be with us in Austin, Texas. In addition to, I told you about Kim and Brett and Reynolds, that we also got the news this week that Reynolds says that he is going to be bringing Burton Roberts and Colby Donaldson. Also, we have Missy Payne is going to be coming. So very excited for that show down in Austin, Texas on December 6th. If you can be there, robhasawebsite.com/Austin.com. KIA. I also created a page on the website for everybody looking for any sort of gift ideas or our RHAP shirts or our Amazon links. That's all there. Go to robhasawebsite.com/gifts. Of course, the t-shirts are available from now through November 30th, which is my mom's birthday, by the way. Also, if people are looking to get those shirts, strike while the iron is hot, because we can only have the sales page open for a few days. And then it's a limited run, and we want to make sure we can get those out before the Christmas holidays. So that's at robhasawebsite.com/gifts. And one of the offers that you'll see on that gifts page is from the sponsor of today's show, and those are friends over at Wonderbly.com. Wonderbly is creating amazing personalized books for children. And if you know kids, they love being read to. I know both of my boys are really, before they go to bed. And I think sometimes they're just trying to make up reasons not to go to sleep right away, but they want more books. Wonderbly creates books that can be completely customized to the child that they're intended for, that they can be made for you, for any child. The book doesn't exist until you press the button. They're wonderful gifts for the holidays, baby showers, birthdays, or just because. And they're suitable for any child. They've got a few different books that are appropriate for any age level. They're beautifully written and have these nice hand-drawn illustrations. You just go to Wonderbly.com and you enter in the details about the child and the child's name, and they will customize the book to suit that child. There's the Lost My Name book for the very young kids. Every letter of the child's name is made into a page of the book. There's the My Golden Ticket book for older children. That My Christmas Snowflake is perfect for the holidays for kids ages 2 to 8. Go to Wonderbly.com, Wonderbly.com. Enter the child's name and you get to see a free preview of the story. And best of all, you'll save 15% off the book with the promo code Rob at checkout. So visit Wonderbly.com to create your customized children's book today. All right, everybody, let's bring in our guest for today's show. Of course, he is somebody who I get to talk to every single week on the News AF podcast. He's also one of the greatest guys around and my son's idol. He is the winner of Survivor Blood vs. Water, the great Tyson Apostle. Tyson, how are you?
Oh, I'm so good. As you were doing that intro, I started recording. So we got all of me, but we didn't record you on
file.
We don't need to.
We don't need to record me on your track. I'm good. I got all this, of course.
Exactly.
Tyson is now residing in the state of Arizona. Because, you know, there are some listeners who only listen to the Survivor stuff and skip the News AF, believe it or not. There's like four or five people that do that. So let's get the update on you for all of the Survivor purists that are out there.
But then all the News AF regulars are going to be bored out of their minds.
Well, maybe you could keep it interesting.
For everybody? Make up a bunch of stuff?
Well, maybe this. If there's anything you haven't told us yet on News AF.
Oh, that's going to be hard because that's an open book for me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I moved to Arizona at the beginning of November, which is closer to Rachel's family, but it's also a nice climate in the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
And so as long as we can get out of here by, you know, within the next couple weeks before it starts getting super hot, we'll be good.
Yeah. Well, how cold does it get in Utah?
How cold does it get?
It gets super cold or is that only like up in the mountains?
That's only up in the mountains. I mean, where we were living, it was cold. But like a high regular would be in the 20s or 30s maybe. Mm-hmm. And then overnight it would dip down colder than that. But here the highs are like 70s to even 80s sometimes.
Yeah. And are you liking it so far in Arizona?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, I don't have as many friends here.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's slower that way. But I golf a few times a week. I'm right close to some trailheads where I can go running or mountain biking, and I put a bunch of bird seed out. So, like, we have a bird sanctuary here in our backyard that is kind of ridiculous.
Whoa.
Like 40 to 50 birds out there at any given time.
That's a lot of birds.
It's a lot. It's too many birds. But I also thought if the birds, the birds, remember that Hitchcock film?
No, I remember the Tom Hanks film. That was The Burbs.
That was The Burbs, The Suburbs. This is a different film called The Birds, or maybe it's just called Birds, but it's an Alfred Hitchcock film about how birds all of a sudden decide to destroy humankind.
Yeah.
And I figure if I curry favor with the birds as well as currying favor with all robots, then I've got all my bases covered.
Yeah. I just hope that one of those will team up with us if the other one is really going, you know, goes screwy, where the birds are coming for us. Hopefully the robots will take our side and not join up with the birds. And, you know, and vice versa. You know, if the robots attack, the birds will be on our side.
Well, it's definitely a pleasant thought, but you got to be prepared for everything. So I'm right now currying favor with both parties. So whichever party goes rogue, I'm going to be one of the last humans surviving and maybe even rising to a type of godlike status amongst them.
Yes, because when the birds were out of power, you were kind to them. You offered them food in your sanctuary. And
exactly.
Now as they've become the dominating force on the planet Earth, then they will like hold you in high regard.
Exactly. I was one of the things that helped them rise to power in the first place.
Okay. Well, it's those types of thoughts on power that are going to help us in this conversation today about the latest happenings on Survivor: heroes versus healers versus hustlers. Now, when we last spoke about this season, that you were in the middle of some important stuff. You were good enough to grant me an interview in the midst of a high-stakes poker tournament, but your mind was definitely on the poker match because you went on to then come in second place in a huge poker tournament.
Correct. But I think I also focused well enough on what was happening, right?
Well, that honestly, I don't even remember what we talked about that day. So that if you say so, that I'm trying to remember. I remember.
Well,
what the
now
was.
People are going to go back, and then we're not going to know, and then people are going to be like, Tyson, your mind wasn't there at all, you idiot. So yeah. I don't also want to get ahead of myself there.
Yeah, all right.
Let's just say this one's going to be better than that one.
But not as lucrative.
But not as lucrative. Right.
Well,
you never know.
You never know. But you, yeah, it was amazing. Can you tell people about your prowess in poker now?
Yes. So with a lot of luck and a little bit of skill,
mm-hmm.
you can end up making a lot of money. It's very similar to Survivor in that regard.
Yeah. Well, no, in all seriousness, I think it's amazing that you were somebody who, I mean, had you played very much poker at all before a couple of years ago?
The first time I went to Run It Up Reno was probably two and a half years ago. Mm-hmm. And that was my first real professional poker setting where it was at a casino, at tables. So I didn't really know what I was doing that much. And now, only a couple years later, I am probably amongst the upper echelon of poker players all time.
All time. No, I just think it's
a feat.
Yeah, it's an impressive feat, especially, you know, and I think it reflects well on your Survivor skills that you were able to, okay, well, I know how to do this. Okay, and I feel like that was a good resume point. It's like, I could probably do this if I put my mind to it. And I think that you see a lot of people, well, I'm good at poker, so I must be good at Survivor. And I don't think that that's necessarily the case. But I do think that there is some evidence that if you are good at Survivor, you can then be good at poker.
Yeah, it works one directional, but not both directions.
Right, right. Because that there are a lot of elements to the social game, which you could apply to poker and certainly the strategy, but you can be good at poker and not necessarily have the social game for Survivor.
Well, I mean, if we're actually going to get nitpicky here, if you're good at poker, and that's your first talent, you're most probably terrible at Survivor.
Interesting.
History has taught us anything.
Why are you judging it by the poker players
that have been on Survivor?
What about the poker players you've played poker with?
Some of them would be fine on Survivor.
They'd be fine.
Be good. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
But I mean, we look at like Garrett. He socially was terrible.
Right.
We look at Anna Kate, not a powerhouse.
Not we in the poker game or the Survivor game, I should say.
Or both. Just kidding. And then we look at Jean Robert, also socially quite unaware.
Mm-hmm.
But there are definitely smart poker players who would adapt better to the game than maybe those three.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's bring it back to the stuff going on Survivor this week. And I thought that this week's Tribal Council was really odd in terms of how it played out. And
a couple of them have been. And for the record, I have not listened to any Survivor podcast dealing with this episode yet. So any idea I have is an original idea, not copied.
Okay, great. Well, we were talking on Wednesday night about what was going on with Dr. Mike. And we really did not understand his play with the Hidden Immunity Idol, especially factoring in that both him and Joe voted for Cole. And I would love to get your take on if you can figure out what Mike's plan was here.
Well, this is what's been happening, because this wasn't the first time that happened where everybody, like Cole, because remember the last time they had to do this, and Cole and Mike actually voted against Jessica, I believe.
Yes. Yeah.
Against Desi. And so this is not the first time that this has happened, and it's ridiculous, but it's also the majority's strategy probably is to get those guys to throw their votes with them so that there's less chance of something screwy going on.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense from the majority standpoint that these people are voting like that. But from their standpoint, Mike has to say, okay, we've got Cole, we've got Joe, I've got an immunity idol. Let me talk to these guys beforehand. And if us three can unify our votes somewhere and can pull one person in to vote out Ben, it's a done deal.
Mm-hmm.
But they should have done that when they voted Desi out. Then they have four votes there. And it's just if the minority could have unified enough to vote together during one of these tribal councils, they easily could have swung it in their favor. Or, you know, sometimes it just takes voting out one of the majority to have that entire majority explode or implode. And I think, yeah, I think it was a missed opportunity. And Joe didn't know because Dr. Mike was like, let me handle this. Mm-hmm. And I think he was trying to draw all the votes on him,
mm-hmm.
and he was thinking it was going to play out a different way than it did. He probably wasn't thinking that they were going to split the votes, because if they're splitting the votes, you're still not winning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I thought it was very curious that they voted for Cole also, because we've seen in the past, like, an instance like Kelly Wentworth infamously with Andrew Savage of, like, you know, you want to vote for the person you want to get out of the game. And it was weird that he put his votes on somebody who was his ally and then used the hidden immunity idol to sort of ensure that even if the votes went for him, that he would knock out somebody who was working with him. So yeah. I thought that was a curious choice. So Dalton Ross had the chance to talk with Jeff Probst about this, about what was Mike doing? Can you help us make sense of what his plan was? And this is what Jeff had to say. Mike was making the best out of a bad situation. The key to his game right now is survival. He never really thought the majority would turn on one of their own. He was playing with several different ideas. His primary goal was to make sure it was not him who was voted out. That's why he played the idol. His secondary goal was to keep Joe in the game, and he wanted nothing to do with Cole. So what do you think of this now, Tyson, that we have this additional information, which, I mean, gives us some logic?
I think it's incorrect still. No, I think Probst is trying to justify what Mike did. I don't think it makes the play correct. I think it's still incorrect.
Okay. Do you think that Jeff has the right read on what Mike was trying to do?
Also, no.
Okay. All right. So you think that the logic is wrong and you think the reasoning was wrong. So what do you think that Mike was trying to do? Does that change anything?
It's partly correct, but this is what I think that Mike was trying to do. He was trying to draw all the votes on him by kind of being an asshole at tribal council. And if that didn't work, he was going to cover his bases by voting for Cole just in case. But if you're going to play the idol, you don't need to vote with somebody who could potentially be an ally. And if you aren't going to play the idol, then be quiet at tribal council and vote for Cole in self-preservation, and then you still have an idol. Like, he could still have an idol in his pocket, or he could still have Cole in the game, but instead he chose to do neither.
Mm-hmm.
So he just hit himself.
Right. And the reason why I guess he was really trying to act up at tribal council was he wanted to draw the votes onto him and make sure they weren't going to potentially put the votes on Joe. But it seemed odd to me that he would be trying to save Joe in that scenario, because one, I feel like that Dr. Mike's best chance to win the game would be, for in my mind, that he would be
with
the
Cole and Joe.
Well, no, I think that get rid of those guys, be the last person left, because that person always ends up with, you know, there'll be that big alliance and then there's just the one person left. And that's always the point where somebody's like, okay, well, let's take out Ben this week because we're not really worried about Dr. Mike.
Right, he could still
have his idol. And I think that he would be set up really, really well in that scenario. But to move forward and lose his idol, but to keep Joe in the game, who is such a target. I don't know if anybody's ever going to stop worrying about this pair now that's in the game and now really closely aligned.
Well, and also, even if Mike could keep both of those guys in the game and go to the end with both of those by shifting the tide somehow, he still has a great chance of winning against Cole, who definitely wouldn't win any votes or enough votes.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe, who, depending on how the jury perceives him, could or could not win the votes. And I'm kind of thinking that he would not win the votes.
Yeah.
And so it's like he had Survivor is a game of numbers and percentages a lot of times. And if the more opportunities and outs you give yourself, the better chance you have. So for him to keep Cole in the game and keep his idol, or at least one of those things, is a better chance than destroying both of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you know, I think that certainly you could make the poker analogy there of, you know, you want to see another card and you have all these other options that, you know, all these other things that could potentially happen. Now he's like all in, like there's only one outcome that can happen here where it's like now him and Joe need to pull in other people to vote with them on this next vote.
Correct. And being a two-person swing vote, in my mind, I always think that that's going to work great for somebody who can nail it down, not be too closely associated with their number one ally, and swing back and forth as needed. But I've never seen it really work that great.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys are obviously a tight couple that everyone knows about, especially now. So I think, yeah, I don't know. I think Mike shot himself in the foot really well. I think he was excited about a play at Tribal Council. I think, you know, like a lot of – you watch this and people are saying, okay, this is going to be great on TV. What I'm doing here is going to be great on TV. And they're not thinking into the future.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Mike's play didn't make sense. To play, if you're going to play the idol, you don't need to vote at Cole because Cole's somebody. And if you are not going to play the idol and you want to save it, then vote Cole.
Do you think that Mike might have been a victim of the big move-itis, Tyson?
Yeah, definitely.
He's had this idol in his pocket now for a few votes. You know, it's feeling like, okay, the game is getting a little stale in terms of it's getting predictable. And boy, I can make a really big splash here and make this move. Or do you think that he legitimately thought that the votes were coming for him in that tribal council?
I think he was hoping the votes were coming for him because that's when an idol feels really good to play. But also, if that's the case, like, it doesn't make sense to vote Cole out. I think he was shooting for the big splash, and then he ended up entering the water like a professional diver, mm-hmm, with almost no splash or a negative splash even. And you're just kind of like, ugh. But that's and again, it's like it's new players. It's in the moment. You're tired. You're hungry. I understand things like that. That's but this should have happened last week. Is somebody from the minority alliance should have pulled everyone in that minority together and said, look, there's four of us right now. We have to turn the tide because every week that another one of us goes home, it's harder for that group on the bottom to turn the tide. And even if you don't have an idol in that moment, you go to everybody and you're like, let's all vote together. I have an idol. We'll figure out who to play it on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. It was definitely wrong. But people get anxious, people get excited, and people get nervous, and not everybody's played Survivor a bunch of times. And so, yeah, if Mike comes back, maybe he can hold on to a very likely potential ally or the idol instead of getting rid of both of them in one swing.
Do you think, is that a thing where we are too hard on these players that are playing in their first time, where it's like we're used to, you know, when we talk about like all-star seasons and like returning players, people that played multiple times and ultimately won like yourself. But, you know, now we're talking about first-time players. This is their first time through. And are we sort of like grading them at like, or expecting too much in terms of like making the right move at every turn?
I think, yeah, part of it is you're looking at people who are obviously intelligent people,
mm-hmm,
and saying like, why didn't they see this? We're seeing a perspective that is designed for us to see.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know everything that's been happening and every conversation that's taken place over the last 3 days. And, we are, but we're grading how someone that's sitting on their couch at home watching the episode would most probably grade as well. So we're doing our jobs correctly, Rob.
I'd like to think we're doing a little bit better than the person that's just on their couch.
Yeah, but that's the same thing they're thinking, is get rid of Cole or play your idol, but don't do both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about the decision that Joe made in this episode, where Joe said, okay, I'm going to try to be as annoying as possible because then people won't want to vote me out? And it's definitely a counterintuitive idea. You know, we've seen people before say, hey, I've got the hidden immunity idol, so I'm going to try to really act up so everybody wants to vote for me, and then I'll play my idol and then it'll work and I'll get somebody else out. But I feel like that we don't see this a lot of people saying, oh, I want to stay in the game as long as possible, so I'm just going to be on my worst behavior and try to make everybody mad at me because then they'll want to keep me around. So talk that through in terms of that. Do you think that Joe's logic was smart there?
Yeah, I don't think. I mean, he's like at a last ditch effort now. He's got to do everything and anything in his power to stay in the game. He's working with a minority alliance who isn't cohesive at all. And so I think so. I think self-preservation, it's not a bad play. You know, he's tried everything else. I don't disagree with his play here. And I don't think it's going to carry him all the way to the end, especially because he's physically threatening enough in challenges that still people aren't going to want to take him all the way to the end. And like you said, if he's the one guy from the bottom that ends up making it to the finals, that looks great on your resume.
But is this a thing? Like, if you were on Survivor and there was somebody who was just then, you know, that they were probably the next person to go, but they were being so terrible to live with that you would say, okay, let's keep this guy in. I mean, I can think of back in Redemption Island.
I think a strategic decision would be yes. An emotional decision would be no.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time when somebody's that annoying, I mean, it worked with JT. This last time JT played, he thought, okay, Michaela's annoying enough. She's going home next. She is so annoying. She's the one going home. And then he ended up getting blindsided.
Mm-hmm. Right. But I'm not sure why he should have thought that. Like, he would have been the next person to go out, and he thought that people were going to, from her own alliance, get rid of her.
Because, exactly. But it's the same principle where he was convinced that she was so annoying that that's how people were going to vote.
Right. Because I think the conventional wisdom among survivors is that, you know, if there are two people who are going to go out, the tiebreaker is always going to be, well, who's making it worse to live with? And then, you know, typically a person who is going to be the next person to go will go into sort of like kiss ass. I'm going to work really hard around camp. And yeah. While I don't know if what Joe is doing is effective, like the I'm going to kiss everybody's butt and be nice to everybody, like that does not seem to work. People do seem to see through that. It's like, oh, boy, you know, Dawn is really somebody that everybody likes, even though she's from the other alliance. So, and like the majority will almost always get rid of that person first.
Yes, I think. I'm saying Joe's play is fine here.
Yeah, it's interesting. In Blood versus Water, what did Vetus do after Aris got knocked out? Was he trying to be everybody's friend, or was he trying to really get everybody worked up?
He was trying to be everybody's friend, but he was trying to go back to his old alliance after he had already turned on him.
Yeah.
And so I knew that wasn't going to work because he'd already just barely turned on him. So he was trying to go back to Hayden and Caleb after he voted against him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came to me and tried to say, like, the all-girls thing. Like, there's going to be more girls in the game than guys. He was just trying everything he could. And he said, leave me in the game for one more. But that's what you don't want to do. You don't want to leave somebody in the game for one more.
Because
that's when things starts getting stirred up. So that entire 3 days between Aris and Vetus, I focused on making sure that Vetus was always the enemy with my alliance. So everything I did was, he's trying to curry favor with you guys. He'll turn on you again the second it's not in his favor. He's come to me and told me to do this, and that's against what he's told you. Like, that was, it was work. It definitely wasn't like, okay, Aris, now I just sit back as we vote Vetus out. Mm-hmm. It was keep Vetus as enemy number one, because I know how quickly people's targets can shift.
Does this idea change from the pre-merge to the merge? Because it's not like, okay, Colton is really creating a lot of problems. Yeah. Let's keep him for the final three, even though he's doing this on day six. It has to be after the merge.
Well, I think it depends. It depends on a few things, like a new player season versus returning player season versus what your early strategy in the game is. My early strategy as a physical player is to keep the tribe strong and to go to tribal council as few times as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Other people who are on the bottom and maybe not necessarily challenge threats, if they go to tribal, they're going to vote somebody strong out. And even if they're going to the merge with a small number, at least it's them.
Yeah. So they are in a set up in a good position. So you feel like that the if we're gonna like be coaching somebody up and not like that guy they used to play Survivor with all the time, we're gonna tell people that they should not try this. Like, okay, I'm gonna be an a-hole to everybody before the merge, but if you're in a bad spot, it's not the worst idea after the merge.
I don't think it's your first play after the merge.
Right.
It's, I think try other things, but it's
a Hail Mary.
It's a different, yeah, it's a Hail Mary that may work.
So do you think that what Joe did in terms of trying to misbehave worked so well that it made Mike say, hey, what am I doing? I can't get rid of this guy. I need to keep him around so I could go to the final three with this guy.
Well, I think more interesting what it did was it made Ashley upset at the decision of the majority to not vote Joe out. Mm-hmm. So now there is a little bit of a crack there.
Now, do you think that that is a crack that Joe could eventually re-enter? And again, this is sort of like coming full circle.
Not with Ashley, but he could enter it with as Ashley goes to Ben and is like, why is it a dictatorship? You don't want somebody to call you a dictator. You mm-hmm. know that person's done with
you. And you know because you play Secret Hitler.
And I know because I play the game Secret Hitler very well. But like the second somebody comes to you and is like, it's a dictatorship, you're the in charge, that's a problem.
Right.
And you also don't want to be perceived as that. So the entire – I actually, a few weeks ago, I told you this. I had the entire summation of how to play Survivor in a single sentence, and I had it prepared for you to tell you on the podcast. And now for the life of me, I cannot remember it. And I was like, it is so good. It's going to be one of those things that Rob is going to bring up every time he interviews somebody about Survivor. Mm-hmm. And now I can't even think of what it was.
And you didn't write it down.
And I didn't write it down.
You had the unified theory of Survivor.
In one sentence.
And you lost it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Not a guaranteed win, but guaranteed long run.
Mm.
You with one this if you followed this one sentence, the advice of this single
one simple trick.
Well, one simple trick.
Yeah. Are you sure it wasn't spammy? That sounds a little bit like clickbait.
It was not clickbait, dude. And even if it was, do you know how many hits you'd have on your podcast if that was the title of every one of your podcasts after that?
Oh, man. So I could be like taking out all of these like Google AdWords of mm-hmm. like, hey, just follow this one simple trick to win $1 million on Survivor. And then, yep. Boy, all of the traffic would come pouring in, and really, this would be revolutionary. So maybe, you know, but it would be a cheap way to get all that traffic.
Well, but we would have been telling the truth because it was so good.
It was so good. But would the yeah. game evolve then that people would be able to adapt to that one trick?
Well, they'd all be playing with that one trick.
Yeah.
And they eventually, and then it's kind of, I guess, nullifies it as everyone's doing the same thing. But let's get back to where we were. What were we talking about with,
Well, with Dr. Mike, did he feel like so much that, what Joe was doing was somebody that he wanted to take into the final three? And then also that this idea of a crack opening up between Ben and Chrissy and Ashley, where that Joe could yeah. potentially enter with like, hey, Ben, look, I know that these everybody's calling you a dictator. I'll work with you. I'm a number. Yeah. You tell me what you want to do. Although he did, you know, I guess we have to give credit to Ben in after last week. He was very upset about Joe saying to everybody that he swore on the Marines, and Ben was very upset. But Ben seemed willing to look past all of that this week and sort of like realize that, okay, I know this guy pissed me off last week, but I still want to potentially take him to the end.
Yeah, yeah, that could be. Although if I were in that game and got voted out by Ben, I think I wouldn't vote for Ben in the end if he made the finals. Because if you get voted out and somebody says, sorry, bud, as I'm walking away, you're not getting my vote. The only thing worse that you could do is stand up and pretend like you're giving them a sincere hug.
I thought you were going to say, stand up and say, that's your seat over there.
That worked out fine. But trying to befriend somebody after you totally stab them in the back.
Well, I didn't think that was I'm glad you brought that up, because I actually thought it was a good job from Ben, because
sorry, bud.
Yeah, because him and Cole had not been getting along, and I felt like at least that he was at least reaching.
Bud is bad. Is a patronizing term. You don't call a grown man bud.
No, sorry, bud.
Yeah, sorry, bud. Hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah, bud is definitely bud.
Bud is bad.
The perception of bud is that you're like a little guy who's maybe out of place with the big
dogs. Oh, see, you're small time.
Yeah.
Okay. What about bud buddy? Is buddy okay?
No. Only as a joke. But in that painful moment where you're getting voted out of Survivor, there's no tolerance or allowance for a joke like that.
Yeah. I like that Ben did it before the final vote was read.
Yeah, that was a little bit like, hey, it's you. There's a little nod. Like, it didn't look as bad as, and I don't know, maybe Cole doesn't think anything of it. But I think that's what lost the game for Coach. Was him trying to hug everybody after he voted him out and telling him it was God's
in
will
South Pacific.
And whatever he was doing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I mean, he's always wanted to have it both ways, where he wants to, you know, going back to famously, you're a little man, Coach. You know.
Yeah. That's, he wants to be everybody's friend, but when he votes him out, he doesn't understand why they're upset with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I do think that that's part of the thing about being seen as the dictator. And then potentially, if Ben is going to drag Joe all the way to the end, is that something where you're better off not trying to move hell and earth to bring somebody who's a jury goat to the end, where you're better off if you're Ben just to take like whoever your final three is?
Yeah, I think so. I think so, because if you are taking – if you all end up – all of a sudden end up there with Joe and you did something to get him there, everybody's going to be pretty pissed, especially when you were the guy that was selling the seven so hard.
Mm-hmm. Like, it worked for Boston Rob to take somebody in Philip who he suspected would not get jury votes from a majority of the people. But I think that more often than not, you just end up really making people mad of like, you screwed me over for him? You wanted him in the end that badly over me? Like, what did we have? We had nothing?
Yeah, I think Joe is too dangerous of a player to be able to do that with, because he's done some stuff. He's tried to play the game. You know, he's going hard, and that itself is a resume to a certain degree.
What do you think happens next with this group of seven? Do you think that they will stick together and vote out Joe? They stick together and vote out Mike? Or do you think that Joe and Mike are able to get something going?
In a majority like that of seven, it behooves everyone to stick together, but it most always never does, because you want to get the jump on the people before they get the jump on you.
Mm-hmm. So how do you think it could potentially shake out?
So let's see what our alliances are right now. What's the where are the lines in the seven? There's Ben and Devin and Ryan, probably. So there's that four.
Well, I mean, let's get into the Ben and Ryan and Devin of it all.
Yeah, because really bad play of Ryan.
Okay, so we saw this past week where Ryan decides to tell Ben that he has the idol, but then Ben and Devin have a conversation, and then we have Ben confide in Devin, hey, Ryan has the idol. And then we see Devin being upset because Ryan said, I'm only going to tell you.
Yeah. And that's how it goes. It's like in Heroes Villains, Rob told me I was his Amber, and he told like two other people that they were his Amber, and we all figured it out. And at that moment I was like, I have no problem voting Rob out at any moment where I need to.
Hey, smarten up, Tyson.
So yeah. So it's like, and that's the same thing here. It's like, if you give two people information, that's the smarter play. If you're going to give information, giving it to two people separately and then have them figure it out, that's bad. But if there's two people there and you give it to both of them, then you can blame the other one for passing on the information. So you can deny it to anybody else. So it's either give the information to two people knowingly or don't give it to anybody.
That's interesting. Ryan said in the episode, truth is power. And because he was revealing this truth, he was gaining more power. That is an incorrect statement, you feel, right?
It's incorrect. I think it's incorrect. It's, truth can be power, but it's not always power.
Yes. I think that the truth is power is like having the truth is the power, but then sharing it with everybody.
Dispersing the truth to everyone that you see fit is not the power.
Diluting it, right.
Yeah, it's definitely diluting it. And I think Devin also had the correct read, where he's like, if Ryan told me I'm the only one with the information, but I'm not the only one with the information, I can't trust him.
Mm-hmm.
And that, and it's sure, like, it's petty, and there's still probably, he could probably still trust Ryan. I think he is Ryan's number one, but it's a thing. Like, with Survivor, you're only given a certain amount of information in a small time frame, and you have to make a decision. So anything you have to go off of, that's what you have to do. So it's like, okay, I can't trust Ryan because he said this thing that I couldn't trust, and I figured out he was lying to me. So now I don't know what he's telling the truth about, so he's just got to go. Sure, everybody else may be lying to me, but they're covering up their lies enough that I still think they're truths, and so I have to stick with those people. Also, for the record, I don't know if this has been mentioned at all throughout the season, Devin is more handsome than Cole.
Whoa. Okay. All right.
Hot take.
All right. Let's table that for a minute, because I want to do a lot of talk about Devin in a couple of minutes. We will add that to the conversation. I want to get your take on this idea of, you know, we have these secrets in the game. Here's Ryan, who's like giving away his own secrets. Ben is giving up secrets to people that aren't his. I feel like that's better. And I think that also shows us, you know, who Ben considers a tighter ally between Ryan and Lauren. He's not giving away Lauren's secrets. He's keeping Lauren's secrets safe. He's giving away Ryan's secrets. And do you like the idea of giving up other people's secrets?
Yeah, I do. I think from Ben's perspective, he may have already known that Devin knew, or had a good idea that Devin knew, based on how tight those two are.
Mm-hmm.
And so him going to Devin could have been like a calculated risk, where he's like, he probably knows and he may think he's the only one, and this is a way to get him on my side if he doesn't know that I know.
Mm-hmm.
So if he know, if Ryan would have been like, I'm going to tell Ben too, then there would be no issue with Devin there.
Yeah. And Ryan did not choose to tell Ben, like, hey, Chrissy has a fake idol that I gave her. I'm presuming that Ben does not know that. We haven't seen a scene where Chrissy told Ben about that, but Ryan knows about that. And that's another thing that Devin knows.
Yeah. And so Devin knowing that and now choosing to go with side with Ben maybe could be bad for Ryan and for Chrissy.
Okay. So in the triangle that is Ben, Devin, and Ryan, could you rank those three people for me in terms of their position?
Ben, Devin, and Ryan?
Yes.
Devin would be number one.
He's in the best spot. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Devin knows that Ryan lied. Devin knows about Ryan's idol, and he also knows about Chrissy's fake idol, and Ryan has no idea that Devin is now tighter with Ben, and Ben doesn't know about Chrissy. So right now I feel like Devin probably has the most information. Ben has a lot of information too, because he's got Lauren's advantage that he knows about, but I feel like Ben is now starting to get figured out because he's the dictator and he was unwilling to bend from his strategy for the majority.
Okay. So let's talk about Devin. Now, it sounds like from what I'm hearing that you are high on Devin.
I said he's more handsome than Cole. I don't get where all this Cole is the handsomest boy of all time. Cole looks worse every single week physically. Like, not physically, like his body and stuff, but he's looks 45. And sure, I look 45 when I play Survivor, but I'm close to 45 and he's not.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's not get into too much of the looks. Let's save that if we bring back Mr. Survivor.
But let me tell you, Devin is more handsome than Cole.
Okay. Devin is more handsome than Cole. All right. But what about...
If we're supposed to be swooning over one of these boys, it should be Devin.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm not swooning over either one.
You don't like either one of them?
I would. Look, they're not my type, okay?
If you had to live with one of them.
if I had to live with one, I think I'd live with Devin. It sounds like Cole would eat me out of house and home.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, Devin's like your surfer dude, Fabio type character, Keanu Reeves style, Bill and Ted's, you know,
mm-hmm.
but he, which is fine. But yeah, I'm not saying I'm high on either one. I'm saying when everyone was in love with Cole for his looks, Devin.
Right.
For
You're
some reason
Devin.
Got shafted. I'm team Devin.
Okay, but I want to talk about Devin, the game player, because that Steven was arguing on Wednesday night. I thought he made a compelling case as to why Devin has been very underestimated this season. I wanted to get your take on Devin, the player.
Okay. I mean, is he the greatest player of all time?
Yes.
No, he's not.
Okay.
But he's made some good reads, and he's always kind of been in the right place. You know, he's curried favor with people who feel like they're the leaders,
mm-hmm.
and who are perceived to be the leaders of what's going on. You know, in Ryan, in Chrissy, in Ben, he's always number two-ish, you know, number two, number three, which is a great place to be sitting in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I mean, some of it is probably just his personality. Like, he's maybe not an, he's probably not an alpha type dude,
mm-hmm.
more of, you know, and I'm not an alpha type dude either.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe I am to a certain degree, but I don't like to be in the driver's seat. I like someone else to drive, and I just kind of dictate where they go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't think he's necessarily dictating the direction of the game. So he's not controlling the game so much, but he is sitting in the sweet spot a lot.
Yeah. I mean, he is in an interesting spot. This is what Steven had to say about Devin from his People blog. He said, Devin never jumps in and offers up his own ideas. He lets Ryan reveal all of his information, and perhaps that's why he feels particularly betrayed when he learns that Ryan has told Ben about the idol too. Devin keeps all of the information close to his chest, and which I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I just wonder, is, like, how much credit does he deserve for all this? Because, I'm definitely open to this idea. Like, I sort of rejected it at first. I'm like, oh, well, I mean, he's just the surfer bro. But,
yeah.
I mean, in terms of that being a viable strategy, and we've talked for a long time about how that persona seems to do very well. And I think that people have also painted you with that brush at times of being somebody who is thought of as just like a, you know, surfer type bro who
yeah.
is somebody who, oh, we don't need to worry about that person as much. I mean, is there a skill to that, or is it just somebody who, you know,
that's just their personality.
Right. Sort of like just taking this person who's sort of like the hang loose, shaka bro, you know, I'm just, you know, no worries, man. Is that person just always going to do well?
I think that is part of the strategy in doing well. Yeah. I don't know if Devin's necessarily employing it from a strategic view or if that's just his personality, probably more so just his personality. But you don't want to – like Ben telling people what the play should be is a very tricky spot to be in. And it's dangerous. Like what Ben should probably – his approach should have been – okay, it's those three because we're the tight seven and we're not wavering from the tight seven. Who should we split the votes on tonight? Rather than it's Cole and Mike and that's the way it is. Like even if you want Cole and Mike, you let everybody share their ideas and then you side with the people who want Cole and Mike.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're like, okay, so-and-so, I like so-and-so's idea about Cole and I also like so-and-so's idea about Mike and maybe – you know, like in those instances, it really, really doesn't matter for Ben so much out of those three which two they split the votes on. And it's one of those times where you can let the rest of the alliance decide which direction it goes. And then it gives you an opportunity to not become the dictator until absolutely necessary,
mm-hmm.
which you eventually, I think if you are going to win the game or have a great shot at winning the game, you do need to become the dictator, but there's such a short window for being the dictator and then being painted as the dictator that you don't want to do it so far in advance.
I'm a little confused in terms of like what Devin is doing, and I feel like that it's like, oh, he's so smart that he is not saying anything. He's letting other people make the decisions. Wow, what a smart way to play! And I feel like that a lot of people are jumping onto this. And again, I'm sort of like hedging right now. Maybe it's happening. Maybe it's not. But what I don't understand is then, you know, a person like a Natalie White, who you would say, I mean, isn't this the same game? I feel like that people would say, oh, well, that was, you know, not a great winner. What a boring way to play. She just didn't say anything. And she knew ultimately that Russell was going to piss people off. And that was her plan. But I feel like it's not talked about in the same way.
Well, I think that, you know, and I know that anybody who works on the show that ends up listening this far into the podcast is going to be like, why did you bring up the edit? But I think the edit is telling us that Devin is playing similar to Natalie White, as opposed to being strategic about not giving up the information. He hasn't talked to us a lot about not giving up the information. He hasn't talked to us a lot about letting other people make decisions. He hasn't talked a lot about not being the dictator. And so for me, I feel like that's just his personality. And on the game of Survivor, there are people who feel guilty about bringing people's names up, and that could be his thing.
Mm-hmm.
I feel bad when I bring someone's name up to be voted out, so I'm just not going to do it. I'm going to let other people do it. Like, there's many, many reasons that he could be playing the way that he is. They could be strategic. It could be just, you know, his character. It could be his morals. It could be his lack of play. And we're not seeing enough information except for that he hasn't stated that that's his strategy.
Okay.
Or has he? Maybe he has. I haven't seen
it.
But I don't think he's really defined his strategy as such.
So I've been trying to, you know, think about this a lot since Steven first started to talk about this on Wednesday night. And I...
You know what I think it is? I think Steven thinks that Devin's more handsome than Cole.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like that Cole is more of that JT type that he likes.
Cole is?
Yeah.
And so you're wondering why now Steven's so high on Devin when Cole should be his first love?
You would think so, but maybe it's shifting. Maybe it's going to Devin.
As he's getting older, he's realizing that Devin is a more attractive...
Right.
Pursuit.
So, all right. So I've been trying to figure this out, and I definitely feel like I've heard the criticism of that I've been too hard on Devin, and I'm just saying like, okay, well, I'd like to get the more evidence to show that there is more than meets the eye here. So I thought that I would go to the secret scenes, and I noticed a secret scene this week called I Am a Fantastic Player, and that is from Devin. So let me play some of this for you. This is okay. Devin in the secret scene talking about his strategy.
Mates are totally underestimating me. I think a lot of people, a lot of players think they're running the show and calling the shots, which they may be, but I wouldn't do anything that I didn't want to do. So I'm letting them think that they're calling the shots, when in reality, I'm just letting them do that, which is all part of my plan. And I don't think anyone knows what I'm doing. I don't think anyone knows that I'm as good at this game as I am. I think it totally works to my favor. And the only thing that could go wrong with that is that if people don't see that I am this good at playing this game, that when I get to the final three, I'm really going to have to explain to them how I did play this game and how me playing it the way I did may not have portrayed me as the fantastic player that I am, but I am a fantastic player and I am going to prove it to them when I'm in the final three and I win that million. In my opinion, I'm calling the shots. I'm controlling the game as far as I know. But everyone else perceives Ben calling the shots. Ben's the ringleader in everyone else's eyes. I like that Ben's the ringleader. I like that he's got everyone thinking that he's running the show, because no one's going to want to go to the end with Ben. No one's going to think, I can beat Ben in the end. And they're all going to be down to vote him off when I rally up my alliance and go after him.
Okay. I mean, that was pretty good. I'm not going to lie. That was, I mean, that helped the case for me.
Yeah, no, that is good. But how much of that is him like, oh, this is how I played the game so far. Now I'm going to have to define that somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, there's also another secret scene where he talks a lot about himself, like not really wanting to have too much of a plan. And that's how he lives his life. And he's going to adapt to whatever the situation comes his way.
Yes.
And again, all of that sounds very good. But I still have not seen the moment where he is sort of being able to, and again, I hate to keep using this word, but you know, sort of like dictating the action of what's going to happen.
Right, and maybe he hasn't had to, but he is correct in that he does need to at some point.
But could he? Does he have the pull to, at a certain point?
That's what we're going
to
find out. Yeah. If he does have the pull, then Steven is right.
Mm-hmm.
If he can rally the troops together at the precise moment he needs to get rid of Ben or whoever's driving the ship at the point he strikes, then Devin is playing the strategy he claims to be playing.
Mm-hmm. Does he have enough relationships with the people that are... So now he has Ben. He clearly has Ryan. We know he's tight with Ashley. Is that enough? So if they get this seven down, would he be able to pull those people together and go one direction or the other?
I don't know. That's a tricky question. I can't see that being the foursome. I can't see. Ashley doesn't like Ben anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And Lauren is not super pumped on Ben's forceful decision. And so I don't know. Or is it Chrissy or is it both?
Yeah.
I think Ben is starting to, I think he's starting to self-destruct a little bit, although he did good in pulling Devin in. So maybe where he burned a couple bridges, he created a new one.
But Devin is saying, I want to get rid of Ben. That's part of my plan. Now, again, that secret scene might have been from before Ben shared the idol with him. And now Devin's plan might be, I need to get rid of Ryan, or I don't want to work with Ryan.
Well, and also saying that you want to get rid of somebody and getting rid of them are two very different things.
Yeah. So
you know, like Jervis and Monica probably wanted to get rid of me.
Mm-hmm.
But they probably realized that getting rid of me they were definitely not going to win the game.
Okay. We haven't talked much about Chrissy at all, and I know that she has been a polarizing figure in the season. Where are you on Chrissy?
I don't mind Chrissy. I like Chrissy. I was really excited about her at first.
Well, why?
I don't know. I just thought that, you know, for the supposed mom style, other people's words, not mine, she was very strong strategically in a game where she's one of the older people, which is difficult on Survivor. It's difficult to work your way in with the younger kids and especially for those people that... Yeah, I don't know. I kind of liked her play. I thought she did a good job at being approachable and at being, you know, like with Ryan, she kind of was like, oh, thank you so much. Oh, my goodness. You know, she kind of downplayed her strategic chops a little bit in that moment to be the helpless kitty, kind of like the Cochrane, like everybody help me because I can't do anything for myself style of play for a second.
Yeah. I asked my mom yesterday. I said, Mom, what's your take on Chrissy this season? And, you know, I don't want to say that my mom is a casual fan of the show. I mean, she watches it every week. But, you know, I don't know if she's like watching like the secret scenes or anything like that. I said, well, you know, what's your take on Chrissy this season? And she said, oh, no, I don't care for her. She said, very smug. She's too smug for me.
Yeah, that's a good. That's a sign of a good player is when moms disagree.
And I said, there's, Mom, what are you talking about? That, is, why, I thought you would really like her. I mean, that she is a older woman, a professional. She's like, no. She's very smug. I don't like that.
Yeah. Again, that could be this. Your mom probably wasn't super high on me when I played any of my three times.
Well, I think that by the third time, certainly, that she knew that we were friends. So,
she cheered for me based on her love for you.
Yeah.
But that doesn't change the fact that deep down she probably hated my guts.
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, I don't think that's anything to go on. And it is interesting. I mean, I don't want to get into it too much, but, you know, the stronger willed, more smug, there's maybe better words, confidence maybe, maybe slight arrogance, something like that, is not celebrated among the, you know, like you want the stronger mom character. Again, mom being someone else's word, not mine. But then you get the strong mom character and people then call her smug and arrogant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just thought that that was an interesting take because it's not like I don't know if it's necessarily like a part of like the echo chamber or anything like that. So I don't know exactly where that comes from.
I think if I were on this season of Survivor, I could work very well with Chrissy.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I would have an issue either. But, you know, it comes down to, you know, the other some of these women who have come through the exit interviews have said that they did not feel like Chrissy wanted to go to the end with them.
Yeah, that's the problem is that you need everyone to feel like you're willing to go to the end with them.
Mm-hmm.
As many people as possible. And it gets tricky because you don't want to pull a Ryan where you tell everybody that you have a final three deal with them and then they all get together and realize that you have a final three deal with everybody.
Right.
That's where you come in and you're like, hey, I made a final three deal with those guys, but you're my real final three.
Was this something that Monica got painted with in Blood versus Water? Because I feel like in the final tribal council, you had like the Laura Moretz and Tina, you know, came out. I feel like that they were pretty hard on Monica in that season at the end, causing Monica to say, hey, I'm just a neat lady. OK,
yeah, I think you also get competitive with that style of whatever you're calling on Survivor or your character designation or your archetype or whatever, you know, that's who you're probably most competitive with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like any of the athletes that are on the show, I'm like, I'm going to show everybody that I'm a better athlete than these bozos, you know, and that's just like, you should be working together because you're very similar, but instead you get competitive with that type of person. And because Monica outlasted and won challenges and found herself in the right spots at the right time, that probably was upsetting to the two other women who were cast in a similar light.
Mm-hmm. And then what about Lauren? Are you a Lauren fan, a Rimmer fan?
I like Lauren. I think she's fun. I like how she's pretty quiet. She's you know, she'll take charge of her situation. She isn't afraid to, you know, voice her opinion. Or, yeah, I think she's, I don't know if she's underrated or if she's, her delivery is subdued and she doesn't seem to get riled and stuff. So maybe that's why, we're not seeing, yeah, I don't know. I like her. I think she's fun on the show, but it would be awesome to see her really do something. And she could. She has this advantage.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it will come to light. I don't know.
Did you like her decision to go for the second vote last week, or do you think that was too risky?
I liked it, but I don't think she needed to tell Ben.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even with splitting the vote?
Even with splitting the vote, you don't have to claim that you did anything. You be the one that say, no, I voted. Somebody else didn't vote. Or like if it ever comes to light, you just if you're the only one that knows what really happened and you deny it, then who's to say that it was your fault?
Were you surprised that nobody picked up on the only 10 votes?
No, not at all. I mean, I don't think I ever paid attention to the number of votes. And Jeff doesn't always read every vote. Like,
yeah.
I think there's times when he doesn't read every vote. He's like, oh, okay, that's enough. Like, especially when it's pretty much a, unanimous decision. There's one vote for so-and-so and then three votes for so-and-so, and that's enough to get him out. So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
You don't read the last two votes. So who's to say there wasn't another vote somewhere that wasn't read? Who's keeping track? And even if they are keeping track, what do you do about it?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tyson, I have a lot of the questions for you from the listeners in all sorts of different formats. Are you ready to jump into some of these questions that I have?
Yes. Are these the voicemails? Is this the voicemail part of the show?
I've got voicemails. I've got emails. I've got tweets. I've got Facebook comments. So it's a real cornucopia, a horn of plenty of comments and feedback for you.
Very, very good use of the word cornucopia on this Thanksgiving weekend.
Yes. Well, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was good. It was fine. We went to Rachel's sister's house, and yeah, I mean, I slept in.
Mm-hmm. That's nice.
Went for a hike, took a nap, and then went to Thanksgiving dinner.
Yes.
And then this morning I golfed, and we're going to take Bergen to go see the new Disney film and just keep
Coco.
Coco, going to keep padding Disney's pockets with more of that sweet cash.
Yeah, what's going on with that? What is it, like skeletons? What I don't understand.
I think it's Day of the Dead meets dog.
Meets dog?
Yeah.
Like the bounty hunter?
Coco is a... I wish. There's a dog. The dog is Coco.
Coco is a dog.
Yes.
And there's skeletons? That's not too scary?
No, I think it's themed around Day of the Dead with Mexico, but I don't know for sure.
Day, I mean, my kids don't even know what dead is.
Yeah, you have to teach them about death before you go see this one. And that's, yeah.
Boy.
You've never smashed a cricket in front of them or something like that?
Yeah, okay. Well, that, but I don't think he really knows about the people. Boy, that's
he doesn't
a tough
know that
conversation.
Yeah, that yeah. is a tough conversation.
I mean, why can't we stick with what works, Pixar?
And here's the thing, too. By the time your kids are old enough, science probably will have found a way to make everybody live forever.
Mm.
You and I are going to be like the last two humans to die before they figure out how to make people live forever.
Okay. Are we going to die, or we're going to like then put our brains on like a computer?
No, they're going to come to us in our on our deathbeds that are going to be linked to each other. And I think we'll actually, you and I are going to have tubes going to and from each other's bodies, sharing bodily fluids to stay alive for like 1 week longer. And on that last week, scientists will come to us and be like, good news and bad news. Good news, we figured out how to make people live forever.
Dead. Yeah.
Bad news, you guys are too far gone and you will be forever remembered in history books as the last humans to die.
Wow. Okay. It's like, what was that movie with, they had the, like the youngest people,
something of Children of Men.
Children of Men. Yeah. Well, that's what it'll be like. Yeah. Tyson, you'll be in bad shape if you need me to keep you alive. What happened to you?
I stopped working out and started golfing and sleeping in and eating more than I should.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A true glutton.
True glutton. Okay. So
one of the seven deadly sins.
Yeah. And in your case, it would really end up leading to your death.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very deadly sin.
Very deadly.
Yeah. Boy, that movie Seven takes on so many different new connotations if you go back and watch it now also.
Yeah, all right, I should watch it today.
Watch it today. It's a totally different story. All right. So let's go and take a question. Why don't we start with a voicemail? This is a question from Anthony.
Anthony, you there?
Happy Thanksgiving, Rob and Tyson. This is Anthony calling. I have a question. What's more likely to happen next week? Joe finding his third idol or Lauren playing her voting advantage? Thank you.
Okay, Tyson, do you think that Joe will go on to find the Mike idol now that is going to be rehidden into the game?
Does Lauren have to play her advantage this time, or can she play it at any time in the future?
She can play it any time in the future.
Okay. So it's probably, I don't think Lauren's going to play it this time.
Mm-hmm.
Although if it gets hairy, maybe she will. And it looks like based on next week, things might get a little hairy, but she might've been one of the ones that was going to Joe and Mike.
What, in the preview?
Yeah.
No, I don't remember.
Okay. I don't think she'll play it. And Joe finding another idol was played. That means another idol will probably be in play. And it may be one of those moments where everybody follows Joe the entire episode to make sure he doesn't get the idol.
Yeah. I mean, that was really interesting after the incident from the previous week at the reward challenge where Joe was like cutting into the cake and like just trying to like find the idol in the cake. That would be good if Survivor ever did that. What did you think of the spaghetti reward challenge? How would you have played that?
I would have eaten first. Especially if I was on the bottom like Joe, you're already on the bottom. Any attempt you do to make yourself not be perceived as the social like outcast or whatever is just going to be seen as that.
Right.
An effort to curry favor. So yeah, why
arrived at this strategy of I'm going to get on everybody's last nerves like a week too late where it's like he should have been like, you know what? I need everybody to hate my guts. I'm going to go first. I'll eat all the spaghetti. He would have found the idol.
He should have gone first, eaten all the spaghetti, and then thrown the rest of the spaghetti in the,
in the ocean. Yeah.
Yeah. And then been like, there really was only like a small serving, and I thought we could each get a bite, or I'd do you all the favor of just like eating all the spaghetti and you guys can have some of the bread.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if him going first, if he would have seen the clue even. So that's the tricky part, but I think he needed to go first. Hopefully he would have seen it. Then he would have had the wherewithal to get rid of the dish like Ryan did instead of spaghetti on a napkin. Mm-hmm. Oh, come on. Come on, Cole. Devin's more handsome than you.
Yeah. Would you have preferred your Thanksgiving dinner had it been served like that immunity challenge or that reward
on a napkin,
where or on a giant napkin, where that everybody one at a time would have gone to the Thanksgiving feast and eaten as much as they want and then left?
That would have been fine if I didn't have to get if I could go first, or if I knew that there was going to be more than just a communal dish.
Mm-hmm.
Communal dish would turn me off in any situation other than Survivor.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, no, dining with people is fun. I did like the twist, though. I did like how – I like when Survivor forces people to make decisions like that. Like, even just the typical, okay, you won a reward. Now you get to choose two people to go with.
Yeah.
Like, that shakes the game up. And it draws lines. People get their feelings hurt. It's just a beautiful built-in way to get people to expose their alliances.
Yeah. I just want to say that I think I would have preferred my Thanksgiving being served Survivor Reward Challenge.
You would have?
Yeah.
So who would have gone first?
Oh, I don't care. As long as I would have gotten to eat alone in peace and not have Nicole yelling at the kids about like, no, eat that. You have to eat that. Finish that. No more juice.
Yeah. You're introducing them to a bunch of old fashioned non-processed foods. You think kids are going to love that? No.
Right. I made the mistake of I had gotten cider. And I brought that out to Thanksgiving, and then my kids were only fixated on the cider and wouldn't eat.
That's fine. I mean, if you can get them like 400 calories of cider each, that's good for a kid.
Right. But yeah, I just wanted there to be like peace and you know, no yelling at Thanksgiving dinner.
I think that's part of Thanksgiving, though, is there's got to be some yelling.
There has to be some yelling, always? Yeah. Okay.
So I think what's going to happen is they're going to be yelling until... up until the point where the kids are old enough to have their own religious and political views, and that's all you're going to be yelling about.
Right. Okay. You know, a lot of people wanted to know from you, Tyson, in terms of you were somebody who was able to eat more than your fair share on Survivor. Obviously, it was part of Cole's undoing where people did not really appreciate that about him this season. Where did Cole go wrong with all that?
I was self-aware in the fact that I was doing it, and I also... shared that with other people, not to the same extent. Like Aris knew I was eating more than I should and he thought it was funny. Jervis knew and was also eating his fair share. And there were also moments when people wanted to eat more where Aris was like, no, let's save the feast. We're done eating. Let's save it for tomorrow. And I'm like, why do you get to tell us when to stop eating?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think for me, it was because I was aware that I was doing it and I knew that it would probably bother people, but I didn't know Yeah, but I always had a read on it like it was okay. Even though I was doing it, it was fine. And I think Cole, I think just it wasn't just the eating, it was the him, okay, kill a fish and eat it by yourself, but not in front of everybody. Go hide and eat it.
Mm-hmm.
That's hilarious. Like if you can steal the flint, go fishing, go cook it up on the island somewhere else, come back all greasy face licking your fingers. That's funny.
So that his move was that he was that he ate the fish in front of everybody. It would have been funnier if he would have eaten it by himself.
Yes.
Did you think it was funny when Jane did that in Survivor Nicaragua?
Yes.
It actually was pretty funny when she did that, but she didn't get busted.
She didn't get busted. Yeah. So I think you have to choose your moments when you're going to get busted and when you're not. And also, even though I ate a lot, I wasn't ever pinpointed as the guy, the single guy who ate too much. When we merged and Aris, me, and Jervis went to the other tribe, all three of us were eating too much. And so mm-hmm. that was kind of like a team effort.
Yeah.
So at that point, it was like, oh, well, I'm not the only guilty party here, and they're more annoyed with Aris, so it's going to be fine.
Okay. Tyson, this is a question for you from Felipe, who writes in to say, Tyson, are you the biggest game changer of the Idol era? So, okay, is your mind racing yet?
Yeah, why? Why am I the biggest game changer of the Idol era?
While you weren't the first to implement the crotch idol, Kim Sprodlin has that title, you were the first to really champion it. Tyson, you talked about how that you were going to hide the hidden immunity idol in your bulge because then people would not think that there was anything unusual about there being a bulge. Now it seems like that's all the rage.
Yeah. When you're in swim shorts as a man, it's the only place that really you can hold that thing because most swim shorts don't come with pockets. And there's a liner in there that's perfect for like satcheling something.
Yes.
And so it's logically the only place that makes sense. And maybe not everybody was onto it until I did it and was like, there you go. So, yeah, I guess I am the biggest game changer in the Idol, post-Idol era.
See, when I was on Survivor, I didn't have a hidden immunity idol to put in my crotch. I had to put a sock into my Speedo.
For the bulge.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
It was that because this was a very tight Speedo that I had to wear.
So what you're saying is that Survivor was hoping I would crotch the idol to draw more viewers in.
Right, right. And that's why all these survivors are in their underwear, that you were such a game changer about putting the idol in there. So they figure that I guess people are looking at all the crotches anyway. And so basically, you know, having an idol there or, you know, is a positive thing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I like it. I think, who else crotched an idol? Ryan, Adam, did Adam crotch an idol?
Adam Klein did it. Yeah.
Yeah, everybody's crotching idols these days.
Yeah, Ryan is big on the crotch idol.
Who's all crotched idols in their history? Kim, she won the game.
Yes.
Me, I crotched an idol, I won the game. Was Adam the only other person to crotch an idol?
And win the game?
Well, no, who else has crotched an idol? Adam crotched one, so that's three winners. Have there been any non-winners that have crotched idols?
Well, we'd have to see how Ryan does this season.
We have to, yeah, but is he the only one that we're waiting on?
I'm sure we have to get a list. We have to have one of our intrepid listeners work on that.
Okay, so who's crotched an idol? If all idol crotchers are winners, this bodes very well for Ryan.
Yes, I mean, what is it a reflection on the Survivor player that they are, you know, are hiding their idol in a safe place? Is that why, or is it just lucky?
So you're saying that the idol mojo rubs so close to a person's genitalia that mm-hmm. that then heightens their strategic chops?
Right.
I mean, it could be,
mm-hmm.
I guess. Or is it the strategy that all intelligent players have is to put the idol in the one place that makes the most sense?
Right. So is it sort of like, is there a cause and effect or is it just coincidence?
Or is it an effect and cause?
Right. Which is it? That's what we need to find out. And hopefully somebody can do a research paper on this.
Yeah, I'm sure somebody will.
Somebody will do this and let us know. Let's talk about Chrissy and her fake idol. This is a question from Nathan from Atlanta. With Ryan finding the hidden immunity under the flag last week, were Chrissy and he better enabled to plant the depowered super idol? Do you feel like that they should have used that opportunity to have gotten somebody to think they had the fake idol?
No. I think that giving someone a fake idol is not as powerful as you having an idol that everyone thinks is real.
I agree. I agree. I think that other than it just being funny, I don't think there's a lot of utility in giving somebody a fake idol.
Yeah, other than making someone look and feel stupid and then not vote for you in the end, there's no reason to give someone a fake idol.
Yeah, I'm with you 100% on this. I think that it's sort of like a funny gag. We've seen it a bunch of times.
It's funny.
It's always it's always good. You got caught.
Yeah, it's always funny. It's so pointless strategic-wise, but it's so funny.
Yeah. Well, Podrick Race, Russell Tyson, what would you have done with that fake idol that Chrissy has? Just hold on to it and let people think you have a real idol?
Yeah, I think hold on to it. Maybe even let people see it at some point in your bag, or if there's a way you can flash it without being too open about it, maybe in the moment where you're on the chopping block a little bit. It is tricky because Ryan knows about it, so you have to stay on Ryan's good side or else it's going to be ineffective.
Mm-hmm.
So the second that Ryan decides he's not with Chrissy anymore, it's ineffective because he will be able to negate her story. But then it comes down to another argument of he said, she said, which may not be a bad play. Oh, that's a fake idol.
Mm-hmm.
I gave it to her. I have the real one. I don't know. There's so many things. It's like, oh, this one looks different because it's a Tyler Perry idol where you get to be safe for the next 6 votes after the votes are read.
Okay. Kyle wants to know, will Tyson ever wear a 9-inch hat?
7 inches is pretty tall.
Mm-hmm.
If someone gives me a 9-inch hat, I will wear it if it is my style. But I don't foresee myself employing any hat maker to make me a 9-inch hat.
So I thought that you were goofing when we were talking on News AF this past week, which I thought was a very fun episode of the News AF. And you were talking about how that they were coordinating a photo for Rachel's family and they had the colors picked out and what everybody was supposed to wear. And you said, I will be wearing denim on denim and a 7-inch cowboy hat. And I saw pictures of you from Thanksgiving. And sure enough, you were wearing denim on denim and the 7-inch cowboy hat.
Correct. And they asked me to take the cowboy hat off, and I refused because I knew that if I took it off, that would be the picture that they used instead of the ones with me in the cowboy hat.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, no, I chose to wear this hat. I didn't do my hair before, so I'm not going to take it off. And I want this hat to be seen in the pictures.
Right.
So, and then I heard that the photographer was having a problem with seeing my face underneath the hat. And I was like, well, a good photographer would have told me to lift the hat a little bit or would have used some lighting to lighten up my face. So that's not on me. That's the photographer's unprofessionalism.
So, and where does Rachel come down on this? Is she like, Tyson, you can just take the hat? Or is she like, guys, like, hey, like, this is his luck. What do you care if he has a hat on?
Yeah, she seems supportive enough of it.
So what do
she
you like? Care?
She likes the way that the hat looks on me, so she's fine.
That's good. That's good because then because it would drive me crazy if then Nicole was like why do you have to do this all the time? Why do you have to wear the hat? You know that would make me particularly upset. It's like I wouldn't I only care if my wife is mad at me. I don't care if other people are mad at me.
Yeah, that's happened before. Where Rachel's like, I probably should have taken your side on that, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, you should have, but you didn't, and it's fine, whatever.
Right, right. Like, I don't even care if my kids are mad at me or anything like that. It's just that because you know that really that my wife has the most capacity to really ruin my day.
Yeah, that's a part of marriage, Rob.
Yeah. Okay, John Densford wants to know, Tyson, is there any benefit in playing the idol just to get rid of the threat of it? Did it help Dr. Mike that it looks like he completely misplayed it?
No.
Yeah, because nobody knew he had it.
Yeah, nobody knew he had it. So that's the thing. I think that's the moment where Joe's like, I can't play with Mike. He's dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's like, he should have came to us before and we could have coordinated a plan that would have worked effectively with the idol. Instead, he tried to hero it by doing it all by himself and getting it completely wrong.
Yeah. He was a hero recently, though, Dr. Mike. We had been playing last week on the show some of the clips. Do you follow Dr. Mike on Twitter?
No.
Okay. Dr. Mike has been, giving some advice to men about different things that they could be doing to improve their health, other dangers to look out for. Dr. Mike had tweeted out a picture on the night of November 22nd, he said, good night turns bad, PSA coming soon, and then tweeted to myself, Brett LaBelle, and Mark Burnett. And it was a picture of what appears to be some sort of a metal ring, which was cut into two pieces and a bolt cutter.
Okay, so somebody tried on someone's wedding ring that was too small, couldn't get it off their finger. Their finger started swelling to an enormously large.
We don't know which
large
appendage it does not look like a wedding ring.
Hmm.
So I'm not sure exactly what's going on there. So it sounds like that there is a story, but maybe Dr. Mike, instead of being on the healer tribe, maybe he should have been on the hero tribe.
He should have been a hero.
He should have been a hero.
Well, it depends on who he removed that from, too.
He saved the day.
What type of person was that? What type of person was the person he saved?
Yeah. Was it one of the fellow members of the Survivor 35 cast?
Hmm. Interesting idea.
Yeah. We don't know. Maybe that'll come up at the reunion show.
And was it him that saved, or was he just, did he just Google the picture and then share it with
people? Well, that we don't know. That we don't know. If it, I don't think you could tell that unless we did some sort of like reverse image search on it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Portraying himself to be a hero when in fact he's just an ordinary person.
I know, he's still a hero. He's still a hero and a healer. What do you think
he's
about his Statue of Liberty analogy?
I liked his argument.
Yeah.
The Statue of Liberty thing was kind of like neither here nor there for me, but I did like his argument where he said that everybody's claiming to vote morally within some type of code of ethics. And you're making Joe out to be some type of pariah. But if that is the case and he doesn't go home tonight, then you're all hypocrites.
Right.
You
like
that. That was his argument,
correct?
That
was a good argument, yeah.
I liked that argument. I thought it was a good argument.
Mm-hmm. Well, going back to last week's Tribal Council, and this was in the previously on, I rewatched the episode this morning. So Ben referred to the Alliance of Seven, we're like the Knights of the Round Table. And I think that he was trying to imply that there is no person who is the leader of that group. We sit around the round table, as in there is no head of the table. We make these decisions as a group. So there's no point in trying to figure out who the head of the Alliance is, which is probably the best evidence that Ben is the head of that Alliance. But
yeah, as you give the Alliance the name.
Right. And so Mike and Joe were talking a lot about how, you know, the Knights of the Round Table. And so Mike then tried to say, well, that's the, you know, the Knights of the Round Table are from England. We are America, and we are going to topple this British tyranny, and that Dr. Mike stands as the symbol of that and is the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, I understand that, but I
don't want to imply that you did not understand the metaphor.
Right. I understand the metaphor, but I don't think it hit as hard as him saying that if Joe didn't go home based on the way they claim to be playing, they would all be hypocrites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I enjoyed that more than saying he was the Statue of Liberty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did he feel like that people that was going to like touch on like a patriotic nerve that people are going to like, wait, hold on. What are we doing here? We can't be.
Now's our moment to MAGA.
Maybe if there was if he knew exactly you know there was somebody on that that group of seven that he was going to be able to push that button.
Yeah, and there was a Marine there, so you never know.
Yeah, but that unfortunately that he was trying to get everybody to turn against the Marine.
Yeah, he was trying to get everybody to turn against the Marine, and he was also trying to get everybody to vote for Joe, kind of.
Well, they've wanted to vote for Cole. So again, it's a complicated plan, and maybe one day we'll be able to get, you know, hopefully the next episode will start off with Mike talking about exactly what he was trying to pull off there.
Yeah, but hindsight after the plan doesn't work, you can claim whatever you want to make yourself look less dumb about what just happened.
Yeah. Tyson, let me quickly thank a sponsor here for this episode of the podcast. Those are friends over at canvaspeople.com. Have you ever heard me talk about canvaspeople.com?
Are they the ones that will print your pictures for you on canvas?
Yes, they'll turn your photo into an 11 by 4. Well, actually, any size you want, but this offer is for an 11 by 14 canvas photo. And Tyson, what I wanted to do here today to prove to you how great of a product Canvas People is that I want to turn your favorite photo of us into a canvas photo, a canvas work of art, and gift that to you.
Of you and I?
Yes. Would Rachel let you have that in your winter home?
Of course she would.
Okay. All right. Well, that either I'll let you pick out the photo or the listeners pick out the photo. But I would like to, that is my token of gratitude to you for coming on the podcast today.
Wow, this is fantastic news. Let the listeners choose out the photo. I know we have the one of you and I visiting the Galapagos Islands. That might be our most recent
maybe.
Photo together.
Yes.
But I think we have better photos than that.
All right. Well, look, not just for people appearing on your podcast, canvaspeople.com is a great gift idea, especially this time of year. Relatives, all sorts of people that you need to get a gift for. It's very thoughtful. Did you feel like that was thoughtful, Tyson?
I thought it was very thoughtful.
It's a thoughtful gift, of course. The great offer of the special $0 pricing. Normally, that's $69.99 canvas. For listeners of our show, you'll pay $0 for the photo. You just pay the shipping. It comes out to about $20 altogether. You're not going to do much better than that with a gift this time of year. They're so sure that you're going to love the product. That's why they're giving you that great $0 pricing to start off. Over 1 million satisfied customers, including myself and the First Lady of Podcasting. To get this special offer, go to canvaspeople.com, upload your photo, select the 11 by 14 size, and enter promo code RHAP in the promo code box to get that special $0 pricing. That's canvaspeople.com, promo code RHAP. All right, let me give you another one of these voicemails. This is a question for you from Jake from your former state of Utah. This is Jake from Salt Lake.
Okay.
Hey, Robin Tyson. This is Jake from Salt Lake. First thing I want to say is it was really cool meeting you guys when you came here for RapCon. Now, my question today has to do with Lauren's advantage. If he happens to be voted out with her extra vote, would she be able to use that extra vote in the final tribal council to cast an extra vote for the winner? Thanks, guys. Bye.
Okay. If Lauren gets voted out with the extra vote, Tyson, should she be able to use that extra vote to vote for the winner?
Ooh, that's a very curious question. I'm assuming no, but maybe in future seasons we would actually get to be able to see that.
Yeah, my gut reaction is probably no on that, but why not? Why not let her have two votes for the winner?
Exactly.
And stand up there and say, hey, jurors, I just want to let you know I've got two votes, okay? So
yeah,
my answer is going to be the most important one.
Yeah,
okay?
I think so. I think that would be perfect.
I think then people would really like start to address all of their answers towards her, and they'd be like, other people would be like, "Hey, it's you know, I have a vote too, everybody. Yeah, but I have two votes.
Yeah, I have two.
Mm-hmm.
That she'd really win everyone over.
Yeah,
but in doing so, they might lose votes because they're gearing their answers so strongly towards just her.
Yeah. Did you like the new jury format?
How do you mean?
Like when they had like rounds of questioning, and then people got to have like a more of a back and forth. Did you like that as somebody who has won the votes of the jury?
No, I like the single question better.
Okay, why?
It's just I like the structure of it. I like the fact that everybody gets their one shot to make an impact, and then that's it.
Yeah. You feel like that there could be one juror who's like more of like a bitter juror that could really dominate the conversation.
Sway. Yeah. And I think that even if that wasn't the case, you could get the person who's like, camera time, and then they dominate the conversation that way.
Oh, that's interesting.
And you're just like, ugh.
Because I feel like we didn't really have that last season, but there's normally somebody like almost on every jury that like wants to come up there and make like some big like grandiose speech and want to people still want to be the Sue Hawk 17 years later, and you could burn one person in particular, and if you happen to like burn the big mouth, then they're gonna really try to dominate that.
Yeah, and you could. That's the thing. Like, people come in, I want to be camera time. This is my last shot at being invited back. So make a big bang here. I like it better. You get one question. Everybody gets one question. Choose your question, and then we'll go from there.
Well, it could work for you though. If like one person was like really killing you, people could start to feel bad for you.
Yeah, it could. And also, I think the way the jury's set up now, they most probably discuss a little bit of the vote before they even get to final tribal council.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the round table is not necessarily going to matter. Mm-hmm. Maybe it negates the fact that they're. Yeah, maybe it negates the fact that they're talking about it beforehand. So they're like, well, then just talk about it out there too.
Okay.
Maybe that's – do you think they're going to do that this year with the jury again?
I think so. I think they liked it from last season.
What did you think?
I thought it was fun. I mean, sometimes I feel like that these juries that they don't really get to hear the case from all the players. Like, it felt like that for TV, they were just cutting it down, cutting even from when you played. Like, there, it seems like that they weren't letting them give opening statements. And then I liked how they sort of like expanded it back out a bit.
I think – the players each get their opening statements. Each player gets one single question that they can direct to whomever they'd like. Then each player gets their closing statements. Then it goes to vote.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I like that. I think because then you, as the player, get to react to everyone's questions in your closing statements to a certain degree.
Let me give you another question about last season. Tim Connolly wants to know, what was your take on the way that Suri went out last season? Are all of these immunity idols and advantages detracting from the game, or are they necessary to keep the game from getting stale?
I thought it was a major bummer the way Suri went out. Mm-hmm. Like, that's tough to not get a single vote and to not draw rocks or anything. Just be like, well, you're the one. See ya.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that pretty much what happened?
Yeah, that everybody else had an advantage or immunity, and that's why she had to go home.
Yeah, that was a big bummer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess part of the game now is finding advantages and immunities, and so maybe there is some merit to her going home like that, but in a classic Survivor mind, that's a huge, huge bummer. And it's one of those moments where it's like the first rock draw where Pascal was the only one that could even possibly go home.
See, that was a good pull.
So he did.
That I wouldn't have thought that you knew about Pascal.
Well, if we're going to be honest with each other, I've never seen that episode. But after I drew rocks, there was a lot
people
of talk
about
Pascal.
It wasn't just from Nalia. Do you know that Pascal was Nalia's best friend?
Yes, I did. If you would have said who was Nalia's best friend, I wouldn't have known. But if you, as you repeated it, I had heard that before.
Yeah. So this was not necessarily a tweet for you, Tyson, but I thought that it was somewhat relevant, unlike the person who is offended here. So one of our great listeners, Rob_from_605, that he used the 280 characters to say happy Thanksgiving to a number of people. And mostly Survivor podcasters,
Okay.
But then apparently he offended your friend Benjamin Coach Wade, who tweeted back, thanks for leaving me out. Hashtag used to be relevant. Yeah. Coach is offended. See, now the thing is,
you can't please everybody, Rob.
Right.
And, that's just the way it is. And if you can't be on the other side of realizing that not everybody can please everybody, then you're going to get offended.
Right. I mean, now that people have 280 characters, that, you know, you could do like a follow Friday or, you know, happy Thanksgiving to all these people. Yeah. But now it's like, boy, I didn't make the cut. It's like you got kind of could get it at 140, but now at 280, it's like, boy, I don't even make the cut at 280.
Yeah, look, but the same thing, trying to get offended by people slighting you in some way or another in this day and age, getting left out of a tweet is a minor offense.
Not to Coach.
Not to Coach. Yeah, I guess not. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Sorry. Why is Coach even watching that if he's not even mentioned in it? Is he just following everybody that slights him on Twitter? So the more you belittle Coach, the more he's willing to follow you on Twitter. So
waiting for a happy Thanksgiving mention.
No, I think he's the second that you start befriending him, he leaves you out in the cold. So the best thing you can do is constantly insult him until he follows you on Twitter.
You shouldn't be negging Coach on Twitter.
No.
Okay. Michael wants to know, is it important for people like Dr. Mike to make huge spectacles out of Tribal? I'm not assuming he's not talking about his glasses. Do these defiant verbal standoffs win favor with the jury? Tyson, one time you sat on the jury and you cast your vote for JT over Stephen Fishback. Do you feel like that as a juror, that somebody making sort of a real spectacle at a tribal council, does that win you over? Or are you like, hey, this guy's really hustling out there?
I don't think in that moment with JT and Steven, because it wouldn't have mattered, they were aligned. But I think if Mike makes it to the end and he was like, yeah, and look at that one time where I tried really, really hard to get those people to shift. I think, yeah, that part definitely.
Yeah. I mean, they're like a real peanut gallery, the jurors anyway. So I think that, you know, anytime you are trying to do something to change up the status quo, I feel like they like that. But at this point in time, only Desi's on the jury.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
I mean, at this point, you'd be better off just talking about like, you know who was really awesome in this game? Desi. Desi was really one. They should not have voted her out.
Our mistake was not protecting Desi more.
Yes, the biggest mistake we made, they should really, when the jury is that small, really pandering like to the one person, I think is a good. Like,
well, I did that on Token Chains.
You did?
Yes. Jeff asked, I was like, I love Debbie, so I'm glad she's wearing the necklace. And Jeff's like, oh, that's interesting that you only love Debbie. And I was like, I didn't say I only love Debbie. He's like, well, who else do you love? And I listed everybody, including Brendan on the jury, except for I left out Sierra.
Yes. Okay. So, and that was intentionally to pander to the one juror?
Correct.
Yeah. Right. I think Dr. Mike, that even though he voted against Desi, he's like, you know, my biggest mistake was I let those guys talk me into voting out Desi last time. I should not have done that.
Yeah, I think that would have been great.
If anything, I should have given my idol to her.
And I don't want to vote out Cole tonight.
Well, I don't think he knew that, or Cole knew that they were going to cast votes against him. So I think he could have waited till Cole was out of the game to start to smooth that one
to do
over.
That.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're just going to see him trying to smooth everybody over. No, because he didn't do it with Desi.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a great play, though.
Yeah.
After you vote everybody out. I remember when we voted Sierra Easton out of the game on Blood versus Water, and I looked over at Laura, and she was like, had tears in her eyes, and I like mouthed sorry to her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but I really wasn't.
Right. I got yelled at in Survivor of the Amazon that Jeff said that I was trying to, that he said that I needed to stop pandering to the jury.
Oh, so that wasn't part of the game back then.
they didn't want me to do that. So, yeah, I don't know if necessarily that would make him mad. All right, real talk here for a second. So Tyson and I had to take a momentary break that we had a podcast emergency. Tyson, were you able to catch what was going on?
I didn't have to catch anything. You were the one that had to catch
right?
So there was, I heard you were talking with Nicole, and then you told me that there was a bee that was trying to attack everybody.
Yes.
Was it an Africanized honeybee, or was it a wasp? What was it?
I'm not sure exactly what happened, but Nicole broke into the podcast studio to tell me. I thought that something terrible had happened, and it turned out that a bee had gotten into my house, and so... there was a lot of concern that Nicole, the bee was going to sting everybody. And so I had to go and be the hero and then save my family.
I am feeling like a queen bee at this
point. No, it was not Jessica. It was not Jessica.
So you are the patriarch of your family.
Yeah, I had to go defend my family against a killer bee that had gotten into the house.
Very good, Rob. You are a hero.
So I saved my family in the midst of making this podcast with Tyson today. So we had to stop down for a second.
Fantastic.
Okay. Any insects get into your house, Tyson?
Well,
you had that spider that bit you a couple months ago.
Yeah, that was in my other house. And down here in Arizona, the fear is scorpions.
Scorpions, yeah.
Some spiders.
Mm-hmm.
Cockroaches are a thing.
Yeah.
And crickets go berserko down here. So everybody just sprays for everything. I haven't sprayed yet, and we've been fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want Bergen to be stung by a scorpion.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, is that a big thing? Like lots of kids are getting stung by scorpions?
No, not lots of people are being stung by scorpions, but some people are being stung by scorpions once in a while.
Yeah.
Like, I think Rachel's parents have lived down here for 30 years, and they've each been stung maybe a couple times, maybe only once. And her brothers have been stung before.
What do they sneak up on you?
Stung. Yeah, they end up in your bed or like you step on them or something like that. They're just like a spider. They're like this spider.
Oh, they're really small?
So yeah, some are small.
Yeah. Jeez Louise. Okay. All right.
Yeah. So, and apparently they feel like a bee sting, but the pain lasts longer.
Yeah. Okay.
So the pain can last 12 to 24 hours, but it's like the pain scale of getting stung by a bee.
Oh my God.
So you're just supposed to ice it.
All right. Tyson, this is a question from Benji, who said, do you think that Mike's blow up at Tribal helped or hurt Ben's game? We know that he has a small relationship with Chrissy, but if Ryan is the one emerging as the next big target, it may have saved Ben and Chrissy a couple of rounds. Do you think that there were any other people that benefited from what Mike was doing at Tribal Council?
Yeah, I mean, who was he blowing up mostly? Mm-hmm. Ben?
Yeah, and did it help or hurt him?
So it would have probably hurt Ben a little bit.
Yeah.
Because if people are already feeling that Ben is being a dictator, and then Mike is also outing him as the leader, that's now a double whammy. And then it helps everybody who's just under Ben.
Yeah.
Who's wanting to get rid of Ben before they get to the end. So it probably helps Devin. It helps people like that.
Do you think that Ben did a good job at the point where Chrissy came to him and said, look, I just want to let you know that some people are feeling a little bit like you are just railroading everybody with this plan. A lot of people want to get rid of Joe. And he said, no, people don't think that. Just, maybe you and Ashley think that.
Yeah, I think that's the thing is if I were in Ben's shoes and Chrissy had come and told me that, I would have been like, okay, so I got to get rid of Chrissy next,
mm-hmm.
and then I got to get rid of Ashley too.
So you wouldn't have changed up what you were doing?
I would have maybe changed up what I was doing to appease them or been like, well, we can talk about it again and then get everybody together and be like, Chrissy thought this and Ashley thought this too, so what's everybody's feelings on it? But then you also... So you show them that, okay, I'm listening, but then you also get rid of them.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, they're done. You can't work with them. They already – you've crossed them. They feel like they've been betrayed. They feel like you're not listening. They have to go or they're going to get you.
Yeah. Would you have gotten rid of Cole before Joe?
If it were up to me?
Yeah, if you were in that seven.
No, I would have gotten rid of Joe.
Yeah.
Joe's scrambling. He's making things difficult for people. He's looking for idols. Cole is a dead man walking.
Yeah.
Like he's not going to win out everything. He's fatigued. He's good at some of the challenges, but he's not a guy that you're going to see winning eight straight to get to the end.
So yeah, you subscribe to the same idea of that. Yes, Joe is a better person having the final three, but you know, Cole, there's nothing really to worry about with Cole. He's not going to win eight consecutive immunity challenges.
I think Cole's better to have in the final three sitting with you too.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think Cole's safer to sit next to in the end than even Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Because Cole is already perceived as someone who's not strategic. He's perceived as someone who's eating all the food. He's perceived as someone who's so selfish. He only does everything for himself, and it's not even trying to hide it. Like, Cole's perfect to sit next to in the end.
Okay. Travis Randolph wants to know, was Joe right in saying that Ashley is the GOAT for this season?
You know, that's it got under her skin, and that's what he was going for, so yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that she is the GOAT. I think lots of people can be perceived as GOATs, and also, once again, we aren't seeing everything that everybody's doing. So it's hard from a viewer's perspective, sure, yeah. I don't know that she's necessarily – she hasn't done a lot, but she hasn't also shown that she's – not doing anything.
I like that she got worked up, though.
Yeah, she did get worked
up. That was something.
But that's what Joe wanted her to do.
Yeah. This is a question from the great Eric Laval, who says, if you or Tyson are looking for a Black Friday deal on a new friend, DM me for the details.
Ooh, there's a new friend in town?
I don't know. Well, I thought we already were friends with Eric.
I thought we were too, but maybe my perception of our relationship with him is different than his perception.
Okay. did you do any Black Friday shopping?
Nope.
No. Do you not believe in it?
Do I not believe in Black Friday?
Yeah. It's like, you know, maybe you can get better deals in March.
Yeah, you probably can, but also, I don't care about the crowds. I have enough stuff. I don't need more stuff. So mm-hmm. There's just a lot of all of that. Just kind of like, I could spend money, but I could also not spend money. And in the end, that's probably smarter.
Yeah. David Baltazar wants to know, do you use the money you won at Run It Up Reno to buy more Bitcoin, or did Rachel use it to buy more Goop products?
A little bit of both. P.S. Rob, cryptocurrency way up the last few days.
Yeah, Ethereum.
Really, yeah, all-time high.
All-time high. Is this the time to get out, Tyson?
No, I think you just camp on it. Just keep waiting.
Keep waiting.
Yeah.
Chris Dixon wanted to know, Tyson, what was your favorite food and drink to have at the Thanksgiving table? And Tony wanted to know, what does your perfect Thanksgiving plate look like?
My favorite food and drink at the Thanksgiving table?
Yeah.
At this Thanksgiving or optimal?
Optimal.
Optimal. I like good mashed potatoes and
good
gravy.
Mashed potatoes. Okay.
Yeah, and I like the turkey too, and I like stovetop stuffing, but I dislike homemade stuffing.
Oh, interesting. Why?
Stovetop stuffing, there's just something more synthetic about it. Like mm-hmm. It's just puffier and crispier and not soggy and weighted down. And it's, it's much more delicious, I think.
Right.
Would you disagree?
You know, I feel like that the stovetop is fine. I feel like that you can do more things to screw it up if you sort of go off the board. But like, I also feel like that the upside is higher also.
On homemade stuffing?
Yeah, especially if you can get like sausage in there. I feel like that's really good.
Yeah.
Because it creates a grease. Right.
You can put sausage in stovetop and then you got the best of both worlds.
Maybe. Yeah. Are you a big leftovers guy in terms of the Thanksgiving, like all this weekend?
No, I didn't take any leftovers, but if we had hosted, I probably would be making cold turkey sandwiches for the next like 4 weeks.
Yeah. I got a lot of leftovers at my house.
Wow. What are you going to do with them?
I'm probably just going to put like turkey and everything for the next 3 days because I think I'm going to be the only person in my house that eats it.
Yeah.
Nicole doesn't really like the turkey.
She doesn't?
No.
Nicole, why wouldn't you like the turkey? So let me get this straight. She doesn't like pineapple on pizza.
That's right.
She hates strawberries.
Mm-hmm. She was big and she wanted a – she made a ham yesterday.
Oh, okay. So she'll eat a ham but not a turkey.
Right.
So what's her beef with turkey? Just the – oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
what's
good.
Her beef with turkey?
She just
get it?
Doesn't like it. She just doesn't like it.
Okay. That's fair enough. Mm-hmm. Not everybody has to like everything.
Not everybody has to like it. She, I mean, I have to always talk her out of she wants to make like macaroni.
Like real macaroni or like Italian
like big
macaroni,
ziti, right.
Meaning pasta.
Pasta, yeah.
Because we call that pasta, Rob, but Boston Rob told me that East Coast Italian heritage call all pasta macaroni. Is that true?
I'm not sure that I understand the distinction.
Pasta is all pastas. Macaroni is a pasta. So all macaroni is pasta, but not all pasta is macaroni. Macaroni is a type of, a shape of pasta. Macaroni and cheese is the shape of pasta, the elbow noodles.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a macaroni.
Right. Like, I wouldn't think that lasagna is macaroni.
Okay. What about bolognese?
I feel like that's a sauce more than, like, I think it
would spaghetti and bolognese. Would
yeah,
that be
I mean, I guess,
classified as a macaroni
I guess
or
is,
no?
Is spaghetti macaroni? I guess probably not. I guess
but
I,
would you call it that? Or if somebody said macaroni, if somebody was like, we're having macaroni for dinner, and then you show up and it's like spaghetti carbonara, would you be appalled and shocked? Or would
no,
you be like,
I mean,
this
I
is a
don't
type
think
of
I'd really think about it too much, but I probably, you know, wouldn't call spaghetti macaroni, if that
okay.
makes sense.
My term for macaroni is very strict.
Yes.
There's only a very small variety that fit into the macaroni label, whereas I think maybe everybody else is looser with their definition of macaroni.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Okay. You're a purist.
I'm a purist. It's Kraft macaroni and cheese. It's the elbow noodles.
Or is it cheese and macaroni?
Nope. It's macaroni and cheese. Mac and cheese.
Yeah.
Not Edmo. Cheese and mac.
Edmo wants to know, Ben spelled Cole's name C-O-A-L. What was your worst misspelling of a name before? Was that like a slight to call him Cole, like C-O-A-L?
Maybe. That's one of those things where you're not 100% certain.
Mm-hmm.
Yay or nay, I don't know. The biggest misspell for us was on my first season. Somebody spelled Candace Can Dance.
Can Dance.
Yeah.
And were they trying to sit like give her a compliment?
No. They misspelled it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Vetus's infamous Thai son, but that was on purpose.
Yeah, what was he going for there?
Just like one last final like thing, probably.
But was that a compliment or an insult?
Neither. I think it was just a fun.
This is a Vetus joke.
Words. Yeah, just a fun play on words.
Yeah, I don't really know what the play was, but
it's just a different way to spell Thai son.
Okay. Jason wants to know, is Chrissy a neat lady?
Sure.
Seems like it.
Sure. Yeah. Is she as neat as Monica? She hasn't told us as such, so I have no reason to believe.
Did you listen to my interview with Brad and Monica?
I did.
Yes. What'd you think?
It was good.
Yeah.
They're fun. They had some good insight, I thought.
Yeah.
And Brad
shouted you out for playing Secret Hitler.
And being awesome at it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at that game.
Mar wants to know, will JP ever speak again? I'm asking because I'm worried about him and things like that. JP has really been left out of the show from the merch.
Yeah. How often do we get a male Purple Kelly? Is that a thing
purple
that happens
JP?
A lot?
Yeah, he
a
might be behind JP. Purple Kelly. Like, I don't think that Purple Kelly is necessarily as bad as people remember in terms of like lack of airtime.
No, I think it was more the joke of the whole thing.
Right. No, I like this from Survivor. If somebody's not giving you anything, just don't put them on the show. Like, no, who's missing JP? Who's like, no, we need to see more of what JP is thinking.
Yeah, why waste time on a guy that's a dud?
Yeah.
That's the same thing with, so on Token Chains, Debbie, the principal.
Yes.
Whenever we would talk strategy, she didn't like the camera interface, so she would turn her back to the camera. And I remember they finally pulled her aside and said, if you keep putting your back to the camera when you're talking, we're going to cut you out of the entire show. And then when you go home and watch the show and you're not in it and you're wondering why you're not in it, you can look back on this conversation and remember it's because you turned your back on the camera every time we showed up to film you.
Yeah. And she's like, I don't care.
No, she was like, okay. She came back actually in tears.
Oh, because she was like, I'm not going to be on the show.
Yeah, she's like, I'm not going to be on Survivor on the show if I keep... She's like, I just don't like scheming and being caught scheming by the cameras, I think, is... It's... I mean, it's a unique experience for everybody, but that was their way of dealing with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, but yeah, I don't think we need to see... It's much like the know-it-alls. Like, just because there's a former Survivor contestant sitting in the audience doesn't mean you have to put them on stage.
Yeah, just because somebody is on the show doesn't mean they're automatically
on the show. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
You got to earn your spot still. Even though you're there, you still have to earn your spot.
Dan Sedensky wants to know, does Cole remind you of anyone that you played with, Tyson?
No, not necessarily. I mean, there's some RS to him a little bit, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But not a lot. I mean, I'm trying to think of... Who else could?
What, be careful, what because then think? Whoever you say, then they're going to know, well, I guess Tyson doesn't think I'm that handsome.
That's true. Oh, based on looks alone, is that what we're going
for? Well, I
for?
Think we're I going off of anything.
Of everything? Well, no. No, he doesn't. I mean, Aris would be the closest, and it's has nothing to do with looks. It's just... and Aris was aware, but he was... a little bit unself-aware. Is that how you would say that?
Okay.
Whereas Cole is completely unself-aware until somebody tells him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Aris for the most part is self-aware, but there were a few moments where I caught him off guard where he wasn't being self-aware. And those moments ended up helping me and hurting him to a certain degree.
Yeah. This is a question from Deanna. When are you going to bring back your long hair?
It's growing right now. You know, you can't, I think, as they say, you can't build Rome in a day. Is
yes.
that a saying?
That was the thing.
Yeah. So it takes time. Do we want my long hair back? Because I debate. I'm like, I'm a grown adult now with a kid. Do I need long hair? I feel like there's less chance for me getting mugged somewhere if I have long hair because people are like, yeah, he doesn't have anything.
Yeah. I've never heard about that. Long hair is self-defense.
Street cred.
Yes. This is a question. Brendan Fitzpatrick wants to know, who's the better Ben? Ben Driebergen or Ben Wade?
They're very different. They're very different. As people, they're probably both good people.
Mm-hmm.
As characters on Survivor, they're just two different types of characters. Like Coach is like the wacky, like unbelievable, eccentric, kooky, fun, weird guy, and Ben is more serious, you know, honest, open. He's, yeah, they're just different. They're so different. They're both good characters.
Okay.
Was that the safe answer?
That was, yeah, it was a little safe.
So you want me to choose if I had to choose between one or the other?
I think, well, that who's the better one?
Better, but better is such a broad, broad term. I think, which one would I, if I had to play Survivor again with one of them, I'd choose Ben Driebergen because I've played with Coach twice.
You get to see what that experience would be.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I could work well with the current Ben, and maybe our strategies would align more and our mind frame would be more similar.
Okay. And David Baltazar wants to know, is it ever appropriate to pull out your crotch idol in front of someone?
In today's climate,
look. That's a loaded question.
Maybe do that in private.
Yeah, here's the answer to this question. Either wait for them to take their idol out first, and if they take their idol out, then they say, can you show your idol? Then if you want to, then you can. Or wait for them to ask you to take your idol out. And if you're comfortable, then it's okay. But don't just be showing it to people who haven't asked to see it.
Yeah, what you have to do is you have to say, do you want to see my crotch idol? And then they say yes, and then you look at the cameraman and say, did you get that? And the cameraman also
Well, no, but they might just be that they might just be saying yes because they feel like, well, I'll get voted out if I say no.
Oh, okay. So,
So that's an dicey situation. You want to steer clear.
So you're saying people have to come to you and say, do you have a crotch idol? If so, I'd like to see it.
Right, and even that, I think that that could be dicey. Just keep your idol to yourself. That's probably the soundest move. That's what you did, right?
I tried to. That's the other thing too. You know, like I think Ryan's giving up his idol stuff too willy nilly. I get it. It's exciting. It's exciting news in a game where in your life in Survivor is very mundane and monotonous to a certain degree. You have that one thing to be excited about and you want to tell somebody. You do. And I told Jervis too early probably.
Mm-hmm.
But I also used it in a way where I was like, let's keep this secret until Final Five when it's the last time we can play it.
Mm-hmm.
And then if one of us wins immunity and one of us plays it, we're both in the final four, which means that worst case scenario, one of us is making fire to get in the finals. So if you have a tight twosome at four, as long as you can both make fire, you're good.
Yeah. So you should practice that.
Yes. That's my strategy that I don't, for some reason, it doesn't usually come down to two and two. Because in a fivesome, there has to be a threesome and a twosome. But in a scenario where it did, I'm surprised we haven't seen the fire-making challenge more often.
Okay.
Because I think if you're a twosome, you stick together. I think if Jervis and I would have gone, Monica, something happened to her or something like that, and we had to like do that, as long as you two stick together and vote together in that moment, you're making fire. One of you is making fire. And yeah, I think I was prepared. And I thought, okay, if that's going to happen, I'll take Jervis aside and show him the fastest way to make fire. He may already know how to make it faster than me, but if not,
yeah, he was on the first season of Survivor.
Yeah, so he probably knows.
Probably, and if he doesn't know by now, then you probably can't teach him.
Yeah, maybe not.
Maybe not. Do you still keep in close contact with Jerv?
Yeah, fairly close. I mean, he's on the East Coast, so that's a little harder to stay in touch. But we text back and forth once in a while.
Okay. And what's he up to? Anything?
Lots of working. You know, he's always doing his thing. Like, he's got the cigar lounge. He's got a full-time job on top of that. He's got his kids, his granddaughter. He's got a lot going on.
Wow. It seems like he's talking about like comic book stuff a lot. Is he a big comic book guy?
Yeah. Yeah, he is a big comic book guy. He loves all the superhero movies. He loves all the comic book stuff. He does that podcast, Party Nerds, which is talks about all the comic book stuff, I believe.
Yeah.
So, who knew? Yeah. I did.
Yeah, you knew. You were the one. All right. Well, Tyson, great stuff. Always great to catch up, of course. That it's not the same without Danny, but this is the one time I get you all to myself.
Yeah, the one time. So cherish it, Rob.
Yeah, I do. I do cherish it. I do cherish it. Of course, Tyson and I, you can hear us every week on News AF with Danny Bryson. And that I just feel like that there's the people that are the News AF listeners. They love it. And then I feel like that there's people who say, oh, that's not for me. But they don't listen. They didn't try it.
The News AF?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody who's listened to News AF is a returning customer.
Yeah. So I don't know what to do. I don't know what I can do to convince people to give it a shot.
I mean, all you can do, Rob, is put it out there, and if people choose not to listen, then they're the ones missing out.
Yeah. Okay. What are you gonna do? All right. So you're going off to go see Coco.
Yep. That's later this evening.
Okay. Any other plans this holiday weekend?
The Moretz are in town, so I think Sierra and her husband and two children are gonna come stay with us for a couple days.
Okay.
And that's about it.
Why are they in Arizona?
Laura and Dan, Laura's husband, have a vacation home down here.
So Laura and Sierra are down there?
they're down there right now, but Laura or Sierra's parents, Laura and Dan, are leaving, and Marcus and Sierra are going to come stay with us for the couple days that they're staying longer than Laura and Dan. And I was trying to see Laura and Dan, but I don't think I'm going to make it.
That's nice.
They live like an hour and a half away from where we're at, so it's still a little bit of a ways, but yeah. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, that is nice. You keep in contact with all these different people that you play with.
Not a ton.
Yeah.
But, you know, the ones
enough.
I choose. Yeah, I make friends.
Yeah.
I make a good friend or two on every season.
That's nice. And you played three times, so that means you have at least three friends.
Yep. So, yeah, and I can list them for you if you want.
No, you don't need to list them.
Okay. Well, then we'll keep it a secret.
You're doing a good job. All right. Well, Tyson, thank you so much. This has been so much fun to go through everything. Did you have any questions for me?
I don't think so. I mean, I should have asked you all the questions you asked me, but I was very selfish in just answering for myself and then not repeating the question to you.
Well, look, you have my number. You could text me any questions that you have.
And then you'll address them on a podcast?
Yes, yes. You're still Dominic's hero.
Yes.
Yes.
What about Anthony? You haven't told Anthony about me yet?
Anthony, I don't think he quite grasps who you are yet. I think he barely knows me and Nicole.
Okay. I feel like Dominic doesn't probably really know who I am either, because I don't know that I'd be his hero if he did.
No.
But
I bet he's always thinking like, oh, is that Tyson? Is that, you know, and if he looks at the map of the United States, he goes right to, but you see, he's confused now that I don't know how to explain to him you don't live in Utah anymore, because that's like the one thing that Utah has when he looks at the map of the United States. He's like, oh, Utah,
the
that's
one
where
constant,
Tyson lives.
Yeah. Yeah. And now you have to point him down south to Arizona.
Right. So.
Yeah.
That's
I'm always on the move.
That's a bummer. Anyway, follow the great Tyson Apostle on social media. He's on Twitter. He's on Instagram. He's on Facebook. Anything else? I feel like that we used to talk about new social networks that were popping up. I kind of feel like that. Are social networks done? Is that old news?
Yeah. I can't wait for him to end completely.
Yeah. Have you thrown your hat into the ring, your 7-inch hat, for Celebrity Big Brother?
I don't think so. I don't. I'm probably not what they're looking for. I mean, personality wise, I'm probably exactly what they're looking for. But I think if they chose a Survivor contestant, it would probably be Boston Rob or Rupert or Richard Hatch.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that Rob would not like the Celebrity Big Brother experience.
I don't think anybody likes the Celebrity Big Brother experience. That's part of the whole show. Is everybody hates
everybody
it.
Everybody
hates each other.
I feel like that you have to be like really like enthusiastic and like pumped up for it. And I feel like that I feel like you could, you know, you could fake it. You could get pumped up for it.
Yeah, I probably could. But would I want to?
Would you want to?
For the right amount of money.
I guess so. I guess so. I think you could do it. All right. Yeah. Will you watch it?
When is it?
They haven't announced it yet.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll probably try and watch it.
Okay.
And what else I got going on? That show is not going to watch itself.
Right. Who's going to win this season?
Ben still could pull it off.
Yeah.
But he's in a little dicey situation right now with being outed a little bit.
Yeah.
That's the thing. All the favorites fumbled this week.
Mm-hmm.
Ben fumbled. Ryan fumbled. I guess Chrissy didn't really fumble. But those three are probably the main contenders currently, right? Maybe Lauren little bit.
And Devin, you have him?
Devin, I don't have him, but he's the dark horse, you know, surging up the outside.
Steven, not since John Mish has Steven been, you know, out in front really saying like, okay, this is the guy.
Wow. Do you think Steven has insider info?
No, I don't think so. I mean, based on some of his predictions, I suspect not.
You suspect he definitely doesn't?
Suspect not, yeah.
Okay, well, that remains to be seen.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting because, yeah, there is like the winner's edit and stuff like that, but sometimes that doesn't really present itself till much later in the game, and we're still maybe a little bit too early to start being certain of our hero.
Yeah. All right. Well, we will see Tyson. Take care. Tyson.
Tyson.
That's right.
Rob, same enjoy, to you. It's always a pleasure.
Enjoy the Arizona sun.
Oh, I will. I will send you pictures.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so, and listeners, send me the picture that we are going to use to send a canvas photo that Rachel is going to let Tyson hang up in their house.
Yep.
Yeah.
In front and center.
Front and center.
I'm probably throw my TV out and put that picture
put
in
put it right
place.
There. What's the hashtag, Tyson? Do we have anything?
Tyson.
Tyson. Anything about the B?
The bee genocide.
Bee genocide. I don't want to. People are going to get mad about that. I know that the bee. This wasn't a honeybee. This wasn't. This was like one of the mean.
A wasp.
Yeah, worker bees. I think. Was.
Oh, a worker bee.
I mean, it could have been a wasp, but they're not endangered, right?
I think you're safe saying it's a wasp.
I think it was a wasp, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or a yellow jacket.
Yeah, yellow jacket.
Yeah, it could be a probably a wasp or a yellow jacket.
Yeah, it was one of those. One of the.
So you're a hero.
One of the bad ones. One of the really.
Yeah, it wasn't pollinating. It was
no.
Just looking for someone to sting.
It's really, really terrible. All right. So what was the hashtag we came up with?
We didn't come up with one yet.
No.
Let's see. Hashtag survivor.
That's good. That's good.
Hashtag tribal council.
Oh, here we go. How about hashtag sorry bud? Should be
hashtag sorry bud
or hashtag sorry B?
Hashtag sorry B-E-E.
Yeah.
We could do that. We could do sorry B or sorry bud. Either one.
Okay.
Either one, you're not going to win Survivor if you keep
Either
saying
one.
That.
Okay. We'll go sorry bud. That was what Tyson said. Keep it Tyson centric.
Yeah.
That's what we like.
Sorry bud.
Sorry bud. Okay. All right. Nothing to be sorry about here, bud.
Yeah, okay. Yes, can you please refer to me as Bud from now on?
From now on. All right.
I remember my dad once went my dad is a guy that will buy dinner for anybody that is a guest of anyone in his family.
Okay.
And my youngest sister had a boyfriend once that my parents hated, and rightfully so to a certain degree. He was kind of a scumbag.
Mm-hmm.
And she brought him to dinner, and my dad paid for dinner. And at the end of it, he said, "Thanks for dinner, bud." And my dad said, "I'll buy you dinner anytime you dine with our family, but I am not your bud and don't call me your bud."
Okay, so bud was like a trigger word for you.
Not for me, for my dad.
Yeah, but it was like, but it made this real impression on you.
Yeah, but I was like already 30.
Yeah.
So it's like, how big of an impression can you make on a 30-year-old?
I guess it kind of, you could make an impression on a 30-year-old.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that's the type of adverse reaction people have when you call them bud.
When
they're not your bud.
Yeah. All right. Well, we won't make that mistake except when we use hashtag sorry bud.
Yeah, that's the one time.
That's it. And then people know. People know not to use it. Hopefully Ben knows not to use it as well.
Yeah, hopefully he gets this memo before the end of the game.
Okay. All right, Tyson, take care, buddy.
Okay, you too, bud.
Bye.
See ya.